Today, we celebrate the highest feast in the Christian community. The secular world, and indeed even some of the Christian world, have the idea that Christmas far surpasses this day. At least, we see more glitter, more sparkleness. The stores advertise it a lot more. And yet, it is from the heart of this day that we take our faith, that we stand on what we believe as children of God and disciples of the Lord Jesus. This is who we are. This is what we are called to be. This is why we have come here. The Word of God is very clear. It teaches us that in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, Jesus of Nazareth took on our human nature, never abandoning his own divine nature. He is both God and man, the second person of the Trinity. He lived with us, he preached to us, he showed us the great desire of God to heal us and restore us, and to fill us with peace and joy, to allow our guilty minds, our sorrowful hearts, to be filled with joy and peace. Last night in the great vigil that we held here, the church proclaimed the Exultet, only sung once a year. And yet it summarizes everything we believe in. It cries out, "O happy fault of Adam, that won for us so great a Redeemer. What good would life have been if Christ had not come? What great love the Father has shown us, that to ransom a slave, he gave away his son." Anyone that has a child, anyone that has a loved one, and we all do, would we give them up to die for someone who didn't love us at all? This is the great gift of today. But there is more, a lot more. Because Jesus entered the mystery of death, the greatest, heinous part of the sin of Adam and Eve, the thing we all fear the most, and we seem to be fearing it a lot more in these days. How many times, as I've mentioned here over and over, you don't read in the paper about someone's wake and burial. You read about the way they made cookies during life, and knitted a sweater, and how everybody's going to celebrate their life sometime in the future. We remove ourselves from death. We don't want to see it anymore. Doesn't seem too long ago since I remember my own grandmother's body being brought back into her own home, of her daughters finishing the dressing of her. The love and care that they had for the remains of the mother that bore them. And how they went into periods of mourning, accepting the human sorrow and not trying to avoid it. We avoid everything that is ugly and not pleasant or doesn't suit us. We're all like ostriches. We like to bury our head in the sand and pretend it doesn't exist. No, we don't want to think about the children that are being raped, boys and girls, because they're Christian. We don't want to think of our people in the Middle East who are being crucified literally again, or burnt, or thrown out of their homes because they believe in Jesus Christ. More people came to the faith in the early days of the church because of the blood of martyrs. But statistics tell us that there are more martyrs today than there were in the early church. And do we see more disciples? We see less. Because we want to avoid it. We block it out with all kinds of sounds and sights and noises. If we're here comfortable in our little town of the land, then we're not going to be touched by it, are we? Or are we? The Holy Spirit asked each one of us today, do you really believe that Jesus Christ is alive? Not his spirit floating around someplace, but that he is risen in body, in spirit, in mind, and in heart? Do you really believe that Jesus, who cried for his friend Lazarus who died, is right here now? The Jesus who saw the woman's tears for her only son that was being carried out of the city of Nain, do you believe that he's really here now? That he sees the hurts in your heart and mine? Do you believe that Jesus, the same Lord Jesus who took water and made it into wine for a wedding feast where they already drank too much, but simply because his mother asked him to do it? Do you really believe he's still here? And that he will do such a minor, simple little thing for us if we believe in him? And if we trust him? What good is it if we sing all these pretty songs and alleluias and light candles and incense? If we just think that it's some theory, that Jesus is just that man upstairs, wherever that is. Or do we believe he's in everyone's heart? And for those who are Catholic, we say that he resides body and soul, flesh and blood, in our Eucharist, in the communion we receive, that we are receiving him not just spiritually, but physically. And that he resides in this tabernacle, physically. In so many ways, we're closer to Jesus than his own mother was, or his relatives. They had to go a long time to get to see him. Remember the story when Jesus was teaching and there was a commotion outside? And they said to him, your mother and your brothers are here. Obviously, they had traveled some distance to be with him, so everybody was excited. But what did Jesus say? Really, who's my mother and my brothers? The ones that really believe my word, that I will be with you always until the end of the world. Last night's gospel was from Mark. Today is from John, but there's a little similarity in both. And that is, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb and it says, and she notices that the stone was rolled away. And so she ran. Obviously, she knew that big boulder couldn't move by itself. In Mark's gospel, it says the women were discussing on their way to the tomb, who in heaven's going to roll that stone away from us? They hadn't thought about that when they rushed to get the spices to anoint his body. But Mark says, but when they arrived, the stone was already removed. And I told the story that many years ago when I was in graduate work at the University of Notre Dame, I went to speak to a priest, a very wise priest, his name was Father Griffin, about my own vocation and what I would have to do. And he said, well, you know, when I went off to college, I found Jesus Christ and I found the Catholic Church. I wasn't a Catholic. And not only did I find the Catholic Church, but I also knew deep in my heart I was to be a priest and to become a member of the Congregation of the Holy Cross, to be a religious priest. Then he said, I went to another priest on campus and I said to him, Father, help me. I don't know what to do. My parents aren't Catholic. If I tell them I want to be a Catholic, he said, I have a feeling you're going to have a heart attack and die. Or at least be very angry with me because my whole family is not only not Catholic, they're not happy with Catholics. And then I'm going to have to tell them I also feel that I want to be a priest and a religious priest at that. And then the old priest looked at the young man and said, pulling out his Bible, let me read something to you. And he read this gospel that we proclaimed last night about the women coming to the tomb. And he said, did you notice that they were so worried about that big rock? But when they got there, it was taken away. If you believe that God has called you to this life, then don't worry about your parents. God will handle it. And he said, when I went home, I was so shocked because my parents said, well, you're old enough now. We're not excited about what you're doing. But we accept what you're doing. I'd like to propose that's part of the resurrection. It's not only believing that Jesus is alive and risen, but that he's in our lives as much as he was in the gospel. And whatever boulders or stones or tangles or knots or obstacles, whatever sorrow or pain or loneliness or fear or apprehension, our Lord Jesus is here to be with us and to help us remove those things in our lives. It doesn't mean that life's going to be easy, my brothers and sisters. It isn't. It never will be. Did not Jesus say, if you want to be my disciples, you must take up your cross and follow me every day? But he also promised us that he would be with us to the end of the ages. And he is with us. He is here to love us, to strengthen us, to heal us, and to bring us that which we cannot bring about in our own lives. Next Sunday, we have the devotion, besides being the Octave Sunday of Easter. Since the year 2000, the Church has also declared next Sunday, Mercy Sunday. When we remember a private, and I want to stress that, a private revelation, and the Church never totally endorses private, only public revelation, which would be its teachings and the scriptures. But a private mystical experience that a young Polish nun, Faustina Kowalska, experienced, where Jesus told her that his heart is bleeding and beating for the worst sinners to come to him. And that he would give them mercy, abundant mercy. And he asked her to have an icon painted showing that he is bringing sinners to his heart. That's the stained glass window behind me. But what is written at the base of that window? Words he gave to Faustina. Jesus, I trust in you. That, my brothers and sisters, is what today is all about. We trust that Jesus is risen. We trust that Jesus is alive. On the shed blood of all the martyrs who died to believe in Jesus Christ, we stand here believing the same. And more than that, like them, we believe that Jesus is with us, and that no matter what dark valley we go through, or what obstacles we encounter, he is with us. And that we can confidently say to him, Jesus, I do trust you. Let our praise of today take on a new meaning. The new meaning of the victory of Christ over everything wrong, sinful, bad, and evil. And let us rejoice that he has conquered it, and through him we conquer it. For Christ is indeed risen. Alleluia. Truly, he is risen.